Chris is gone, Ron is gone, and I'm here. So we do trust that the service will be a blessing, and we really are grateful for the opportunity to be here and trust that the Lord will bless. Let me get my papers, and then we'll begin our service. Take your hymnals, if you would, please, and we'll start by turning to number 8. Always a good hymn to sing. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. As we sing these four verses, the second verse is really a good verse. The third line, if you would, read in the second verse, "Hast thou not seen how all thy longings have been granted in what he ordains?" And as we sing this, and as we sing those words, especially in the second verse, think of all the things in your life, and you say, haven't you seen how the Lord has taken care of us, and haven't you seen how the Lord has met your needs? It's just a good hymn to remind us why we are praising him and why we are singing his praise this morning. So let's stand, please. We'll sing all four verses of number 8, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. All my soul praise him, for he is thy help and salvation.
Father, this morning we sing of your greatness in creation. We would not take for granted every day that you give us in this world. The fixed order of the universe, the sun and the moon and the stars, the seasons, all reflect your greatness. But Lord, we also sing of your care for us individually, and we thank you for that as well. For our life, our health, the fellowship here of believers, for the many blessings over the years that you have just richly bestowed upon each one of us. We pray, Father, that today might be to your honor and to your glory as we sing, as we look into your word, as we consider things of your dealing with us in terms of salvation and what it means eternally to be one of yours. Thank you for these who have come, and pray that you would bless each one as we continue in your name. Amen. Remain standing, please, and turn to number 87. Number 87, another hymn of praise to our Lord. Whether it's morning, or in particular situation, or night, or the whole universe, everything praises Jesus Christ. We'll sing all six verses, number 87. Seated, please. Tom Emmerich is going to come and read us our scripture reading this morning from John chapter 10.
I'll be reading from John chapter 10, verses 24 through 39. You'll join me in the reading of God's Word. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you're not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "It is not for good work that we're going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Again they sought to arrest him, but escaped from their hands. That ends reading of God's Word.
We could preach a message on those two songs. The King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his and he is mine forever. And in the last song, Day by Day, but the protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. We'll kind of talk about that today, but just two good songs about God's care for us. I trust they were a blessing to you. Thank you, ladies. Take your hymnals, please, and turn to number 403. 403, this is one of these medleys of or connections of three songs. We want to have this reading. It's about our hope, our security in the Lord, which we'll be talking about in a minute. But as we read these and then as we sing 404 and 405 and 406 with the indicated stanzas, just the secureness we have in our salvation. So stand, please, if you would. I'll read the part of the worship leader on 403, and you respond as the people, and then we'll go into the next three songs with the marked verses. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, in order that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement, we who have fled for refuge in laying hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever.
Sweetest friend, God, holy, mean, and Jesus' name.
seated, please. We'll dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. And if you would please be turning to John chapter 10. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that you live. We thank you, Lord, that you died and you live. And on that basis, you can freely give life to us. Cause us to rejoice in that today, even as we again consider things pertaining to your ministry as it relates to us as your sheep. That we might understand the sureness and the confidence we can have in you, the hope that it gives us for a secure future, and the life that it gives us even now. So just teach us from your word, we pray. Again, Father, we think of the ones who are here and we recognize some struggle, some are exalting in blessing, but all of us are needy, Lord, and we just pray that you would open your word to us, speak to our hearts, to our lives. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Last week we looked at the first part of John chapter 10, and we talked about Jesus as the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep. Things perhaps that will come up next week in communion, by the way, but he lays down his life for his sheep, and that's the characteristic of a good shepherd, but also the good shepherd who gives life and abundant life to his sheep. In my readings each day this year, I'm going through a little book called Reflections of an Old, or The Diary of an Old Soul. I relate to the last part of it. The Diary of an Old Soul by George MacDonald, an 18th century Scottish writer, pastor. And it's a sonnet he wrote for each day of the year. And the one for a couple of days ago, just in talking about abundant life, I just thought I'd read the first three lines of it. Maybe you'll get some flavor for it, but at least for me. Talking about the life that we have from the Lord. I clasp thy feet, O Father of the living. Thou wilt not let my fluttering hope be more or lovelier or greater than thy giving. We can't even hope for more than the Lord can give us. We can't even believe in more that the Lord will give me. That was just good for me. But he gives us abundant life far beyond anything we can even think of or believe. And it's a very personal figure when we talk about the Good Shepherd, because he's not the Good Shepherd of the universe. He's the Good Shepherd of his sheep, you and me, personally. He knows me by name. He knows you by name. He calls us by name. See? We follow him because we know his voice. It's perhaps the most personal figure that we have of the Lord. The others are great big figures, and we wouldn't diminish them at all. But when it comes to my relationship with him, the closest one I think, he's my shepherd. In him, Psalm 23 is fulfilled completely. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or that passage that we mentioned last week in Isaiah chapter 40. He shall lead his flock like a shepherd, carry the lambs in his arms, gently lead the ewes who are with young. That's just that's the figure we wanted to present last week, and I hope that that's been good for you to think about this week. There are a lot of other ways to look at the Lord, dealing with us in other aspects, and we could kind of go in a lot of different directions in the remaining part of the 10th chapter. But what I want to do for this week and the next week and maybe the third week after that is deal with another aspect of his dealing with me as a sheep or with you as a sheep. See? It's not calling us and saving us to give us life, and it's not especially the abundant life he gives. We could talk on those every Sunday and not exhaust those subjects. But it has to do with the aspect of taking care eternally of his sheep, the preserving of the sheep to whom he gives life. There's an overlap, obviously, between giving life and preserving it. But we're just going to kind of deal with that last the part, the security of his sheep. A sheep being safe and secure because of the work that the shepherd does. And I realize, maybe even here today, this concept of security causes some of you to be a bit uncomfortable, maybe even disagree. Maybe the hairs on the back of your neck start rising. I hope it's not quite that bad. The idea that a person is saved forever seems to bother some people. I don't know why exactly. I suspect it's because they know a real bad sinner who claims to be a Christian. And they want to make sure that that sinner doesn't get to heaven. I mean, I'm being mean now, but I just wonder if that's not it. That surely God wouldn't save that person after what they've done, see. And it's usually them and not what I've done. But anyway, I wanna deal with this issue of the security of a believer. And even if you walk out of here shaking your head no, at least you will know why I believe that a believer is secure. See? And I trust it'll be based on God's word and give you something to consider. If you are of my persuasion, my reading of Scripture, and you believe firmly in the security of a believer, I trust you'll go out of here rejoicing in what you already know. It will be God's Word. And this week we want to talk just some basic passages dealing with that. Next week we want to talk about the guarantee of that. And then maybe, depending on how it's going, maybe the third week we'll talk about, well, what does it mean in our life to be secure? What are the ramifications for me to live today as a secure believer? And so we'll probably spend at least next week, maybe the week after, dealing with that. First, we need to understand the whole purpose of God's saving us. Think about that. Why does God save anybody? What's his purpose in saving people? And without chapter and verse, although we'll get to a passage in a minute, his purpose is to bring them to be with him in glory. See, for whatever else you want to fill in under his purpose and his reason, the ultimate purpose is to bring us from here to glory. That's why he saved us. See, to get you to the end. Now keep that in mind as we go through some of these passages, especially if you think there's some way that that won't be accomplished. That God's purpose in saving me won't be accomplished in bringing me to the end, see? You have to just understand that that's a foundation in Scripture. God's purpose in salvation is to complete it, not to leave it half done. He will get us, wants to get us to the end. But the first passage we want to look at is really perhaps the most familiar one, aside from maybe John 10, and it's Romans 8. If you'd turn there, please. And we want to just kind of skim through a number of verses, give you something to think about this week or something to agree with this morning and rejoice in. Romans chapter 8. Start at about verse 23. We won't read it, but you can follow along as I paraphrase a lot of it. Starting at about verse 23, Paul is writing and says, hey, we are in a corrupted, sin-affected world. The world is slavery to sin. Back in the garden, when Adam sinned and God pronounced things, the whole universe, in some sense, was affected. And we are in this kind of a sin-affected world. And not only that, we are in this world in sin-affected bodies. It's not, we talked about all sickness is not direct result of direct sin, but everything, our whole body just has problems because it's affected by sin. So we're in a sin-affected world and in a sin-affected body, and we wait to get out of here. I'm paraphrasing. That is our hope. See? We wait. Verse 23 says, for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. That's our hope. The day is coming when we will be totally adopted, finally adopted. We will be holy sons, and our body will be redeemed. We will be out of here, both out of this body in its condition and out of this world in its condition. See, that's our hope, verse 24 says. That's what we were saved in. We were saved to look for that coming, see. And as you read this, at least for some people, it raises the question, will that hope be fulfilled? Will I receive what I'm hoping for? Will I ever get out of here? Will I come to the adoption of sons? Will I come to the redemption of my body? Will I get to the end? See, to which I've been saved. Will I stumble? Will I fall? When that day comes, will I be unable to stand? See? The answer is yes, I'll be able to stand. But Paul develops that. He just doesn't say, well, of course. He develops this. He says, let me remind you of what you know. Now, this is knowledge that's available to every believer. This is not some secret, not some high theology that people... This is knowledge for every believer. Verse 28. To the one who's saying, will I make it? Because I'm in this sin-cursed world. I am in this sin-affected body. Will I make it? Verse 28 says, we know. See? That God works everything together for good to a very special class of people. See? To those who are called according to His purpose. I'm not dealing with everything, but what's His purpose? Think. His purpose in saving, in calling me, is to get me there, see? And He works all things together for good to get me there, see? That's what verse 28 says. Now, don't trivialize that verse. It does not read, we know that God will cause you to be a success. We know that God will cause you to have happiness and health and wealth and you know, it's not the condition of this life that's the good that God is doing. It may or may not be, see, but it's not related to your standard of living here or the lack of accidents or danger you're in here. It's we know that God works everything for good for His purpose, see. So don't trivialize that work. And verse 29 and 30 tells me how He works that out. See, this is how He's working my good, His purpose for my good out. Long time ago, back in eternity, if you can say at a some time in eternity, if you can put those two things together, but there was a point when He foreknew me, And we won't deal with these words. But when he foreknew me, he set me out. He predestined me to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ so that Christ could be the firstborn among many brethren. He can't be the firstborn among many brethren unless there are many brethren there, see. And God foreknew me and set me out to be one of the many brethren. That's what verse 29 is saying. See, that's his purpose. So that Christ can get the glory by my presence with him. See, I will be to his glory then. And people will look at me and the rest of the many brethren and say, may Jesus Christ be praised. See, he's the firstborn among many. And that's what God set me out from eternity to be. The process. Verse 30. He set me out. He predestined me. He called me. See. And he, the ones he called, he justified, declared me righteous in Christ. See, imputed Christ's righteousness to me so that sin is dealt with before God. And the ones that he justified, he glorified. Predestined, called, justified, glorified. See, a couple of things to notice in verse 30. See, as you read this verse, it is not, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this, but he did this, and he did this, and he did this, and he did this. See, it's God's work. It's God's work. See, and notice the verbs. I know I'm English here, but notice the verbs. It's all past tense. It's done, see. It's not, he will do this, he will do this, he will do this, he will do this, or he might. It's, he did, and he did. It's all set, see. It's all set up, it's done, see. And there's no cracks in the floor. There's no slots where somebody can fall out. The ones he predestined, he called. The same group that he called, he justified. The same group that he justified, he glorified. See, it's all the same group. You're in, if it's a pipeline, so to speak, you're in one end, you come out the other, and there's no way to fall out. Not in this verse, see. All in, or everyone who's in, is the one who comes out, see. And the conclusion, therefore, to this discussion. This is God's purpose for me. Will I make it? Yes, I will. The conclusion is verse 38 and 39, and I'm skipping a lot of things. In verse 38 and 39, if you don't like to memorize this verse, just think, nothing thinkable or unthinkable, there is nothing, see, that can separate us from the love of God in Christ. And if you question your security, you have to read Romans chapter 8, starting at about verse 23 down to 39. See, there's nowhere to fall out in this passage. Another passage, and again, really very familiar, and we'll only just touch the surface of it, is Ephesians chapter 1. Sometimes familiar passages are really good because they're familiar and we don't have to say, I never saw that before. At least we know the words. See? And we'll just look at two verses, verse 3 and verse 4. Romans chapter 8 is God did and God did and God did and God did. Ephesians chapter 1 has that aspect, but it also has to do with, in one sense, what I do, see? Or what was done to me based on something I did, see. In a certain sense, I was saved when I believed. See? I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, the state of my being before in sin and under God's wrath and condemnation, and the provision by God's grace of Jesus Christ as a Savior based on His death on the cross, His substitutionary death, His sacrifice, the imputation of His righteousness to me, and as in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, He was made sin so that I could be made righteous. And all this by faith, see, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He saved me. But then with the blessing, see, with the blessing comes something interesting. He did this in verse 13. After listening to the message of truth, the gospel, having believed, He sealed me with the Holy Spirit of promise. He stamped His seal on me. Somewhere when I am seen by God and maybe by the whole heavenly host even today, somewhere there's a stamp that says, I am God's. He sealed me. And it's the Holy Spirit that He gave us, verse 14, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. Now think what that verse means. The Holy Spirit is a pledge, a down payment, earnest money, if you will. And some of you have bought houses, and you know that. It's an earnest, a down payment, sort of a representative part of my inheritance. See, not just the Holy Spirit. It's the pledge of my inheritance. And when I think of the Holy Spirit dwelling in me, I'm supposed to think not just of the Holy Spirit dwelling in me, but I'm supposed to think of my inheritance. Okay. The Holy Spirit says, I have an inheritance. And He did this with a view, verse 14, with a view to the redemption of His possession. Why did He give me a down payment so that I would think of my inheritance? Why did He seal me with the Holy Spirit so that I would think of my inheritance? Because it's done looking toward God redeeming His possession. If I'm not going to be there, He's wasted His inheritance. He threw away His earnest money. It will be forfeited, see. But He gave me the Holy Spirit. He sealed me with the Holy Spirit so that I understand I have an inheritance coming. And the whole thing, He did that because He had this in view. His redemption of His property, me, see. And it's His purpose to redeem me totally. And that's pretty secure because it's His purpose. Now, we could go on forever. Well, forever is a long time, but we could go on for a long time. Pick other passages, and you by now, some of you are thinking, well, how about this passage and how about this? And that's fine. There are other passages that say exactly the same thing, see? Safe and secure when I'm saved. But just take that thought, and that rolls us back to the passage that Tom read for us, which we're going to spend time in this week and next week in John chapter 10. See? The Lord speaking of His Father's dealing, or His and His Father's dealing with His sheep. And it's important to notice He's dealing with His sheep. He's not dealing with sheep in general or situations in general. He's dealing with His sheep. see. And notice, as you read through John, and as Tom read, and as we've talked about, notice the direction of it. It's not his sheep's dealing with him. It's his dealing with his sheep. It's what he does for his sheep, see. And it's important that we get this in mind. We talk about he saved me, and from this point on, it's how I live, what I do with respect to him. And biblically, it's he saved me. How does he deal with me? See, and that's the direction of John chapter 10. See, it's from the Father, it's from the Son to me. See, it's about their work, not my work. See? And the whole issue in John chapter 10 is not, you know, what I might do. It's a question of who I am, see, as far as relates to me. If I'm a sheep, John 10 says I'm secure. Now, we have to pick up some other passages, and I'm just maybe just giving you an outline, and you can run through it at home. John chapter 6 says about my being a sheep. Talks about the Father giving me as a sheep to the Son, saying, here, another sheep for you, see. John chapter 10, verse 28 or 29, talks about the Father who gave me my sheep, see. But what's interesting is the ones whom the Father gave to him, what the Lord says he does with them, does with me or does with you, see. Verse 28, I give eternal life to them, and here's the phrase, they will never perish. I give eternal life to them, they will never perish. And that is as strong a statement as you can possibly make, never in this is Greek construction that means never, no exceptions. See, absolutely no exceptions. They will never perish. See, and that's not an uncertain statement. That's not a conditional clause. If this and if this and if this, they might not perish. See? My Father gave them to me. They will never perish. See? If I were a lawyer, and God in His infinite wisdom and mercy didn't make me a lawyer, I'd say, I rest my case. What more can you say? See, we'll talk about this next week, the guarantee of this, but here is the, you know, Paul lays the theology, but here's the words of our Lord, our shepherd, see, to me as his sheep, to us as his sheep, and says, they will never perish. How do you get out of that? I mean, why do you want to get out is a different issue, but how do you get out of that? How can somebody say, well, maybe, what if, see? There are no maybes and what ifs in that verse. It's just a flat out statement. My Father gave them to me. They're my sheep. I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. See? What could be clearer? What could be plainer than that statement by Jesus himself regarding me or you as his sheep? See? Now, it's unthinkable and it's illogical and impossible according to Scripture, but if you want to get out of that, see, well, maybe I'll perish. If I do this, maybe I'll perish. If you want, a couple of things that have to happen. Number one, you got to stop being a sheep. Because he's talking about his sheep. My Father gave them to me. They're my sheep. I give them eternal life and they'll never perish. Well, okay, so I'll stop being a sheep. Well, I didn't do anything to become a sheep. I can't do anything to not be a sheep. I mean, that's just who I am. God says so. So, change God's mind, right? Change Jesus' position. He no longer is my good shepherd. God no longer gave me to him. I mean, you got to deal with the real cause here. See? If the Lord says about his sheep, they will never perish, then something has to change. Either you're not a sheep any longer, or you get God to change his mind from this statement, and nowhere in Scripture can you do either one of those. See? It's kind of like if you're saved, you're stuck with it, right? I mean, that may be, isn't that a neat way to look at it? Well, I'm saved. There's nothing I can do about it now. It's going to be done. I mean, that's okay, right? Is that not biblical? You might not put it in those words, but that's true. I am in it forever. See, it's not so much this little oversimplified phrase, which is true, by the way, but it's oversimplified and people kind of run it into the ground like, well, you believe in once saved, always saved. The answer is sure, but that kind of you know, just causes problems for some people. See, the issue in John chapter 10 is not once saved, always saved. The issue in John chapter 10 is, once a sheep, always a sheep, right? See? Once a sheep, always a sheep. Because that's where our security lies. It's God's purpose in giving me as a sheep to the Lord to bring me to glory, to be part of the many brethren so that Jesus Christ will get praise as the firstborn. And that process, that purpose is fulfilled by how God deals with me day by day by day by day by day to get me there. And when we teach our kids or when we sing, like the ladies played, the King of Love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his and he is mine forever. We sing it all the time. We read it all the time. It really means what it says, forever, see. And when I say the Lord is the good shepherd in John chapter 10, I really mean to say the Lord is my good shepherd. And that causes me to say, therefore, as a sheep of my good shepherd, I am safe and secure. And I trust that will help you as you think through this issue, that you can rejoice in what God and the Son, Jesus Christ, have done for you in your salvation. And it really is secure. Let's pray. Father, we can only read this chapter and praise you for your great salvation. Thank you for the words of Jesus that I shall never perish. And for others here who have placed their faith in you, you say also of them, they shall never perish. Cause us to think clearly that we might rejoice not only in our great Savior, but in our great salvation. Thank you that today we are safe and secure. In your name, amen. Good song for the sheep to sing, 493. 493, and we just want to sing the first and the third and the fourth verse, but the title fits in with John chapter 10. When you read John chapter 10, you can say, "It is well with my soul." So we'll stand and sing the first, the third, and the fourth, 1, 3, and 4 of 493, and then Steve, would you come please and close in prayer.
Together. Heavenly Father, when we think that we were at one time not a people and you made us your people, when we were not yours and you made us your sheep, we're left with nothing but praise for the glorious grace that you have shed in our hearts. We are a people, Lord, that our life is yours. You have called us, you've made us your own, you've redeemed us, and you've clothed us in the righteousness of Jesus. And Father, you have done this work so that we shall never perish but have life everlasting. Father, those who are here today that have this life, may it lead us to praise and glory and adoration for you. And those who perhaps are here and yet still remain unsure or apart from you, we ask that you would make them your sheep. Help us, Father, to be a people who praise you, who adore you. In Jesus' name, amen.